Happy holidays, everyone. And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review in our stocking and also on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, it is truly appreciated. Also, as well, you can go ahead and support us by helping out, if you're interested, of course, with fantasy, daily fantasy player props, courtesy of our friends at Thrive Fantasy. Well, if you're in a state that's eligible to do so, please go ahead and support us by heading over to thrivefantasy.com. They'll have all the instructions there, or download the app on your mobile phone, LFB. If you type that in on your first deposit, they will match it dollar for dollar up to $50 as long as your first deposit is $20 or more. The best place to go for fantasy player props each and every time out for the NFL, the NBA, and soon coming to PGA, esports, and MLB. That is Thrive Fantasy. Well, I'll tell you what, it was a Merry Christmas for the Lakers as they decided to go ahead and put on a great offensive performance. They took on the Mavericks today and Christmas, and they gave, well, they gave Luka Doncic a lump of coal by going ahead and dishing out a Christmas beatdown, 138 to 115 over the Dallas Mavericks. Like I said, good offensive performance, and it was nice to see that I think it put, for a national audience, a showcase out there that the Lakers now don't have to rely on just two players to go ahead and get the ball in the basket. They now have more options. Montrezl Harrell, very efficient. Also as well, Dennis Schroeder, who is being talked about in the back scenes, in the backstages of what's going on in Lakerland as a possible extension candidate. There's rumor from what I hear in ESPN. So he provided a lot of aggression. And of course, Montrezl Harrell, very efficient. And Kyle Kuzma, you know, just very steady today. And that's exactly the kind of game that we want from Kyle Kuzma. Just very steady. Didn't have to do too much. Didn't try to do too much and was very good because of it. Just a great performance today. Don't worry, everyone. You're going to hear the loud booming sounds of Laker Tom ho, 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 hoing at some point in time before the end of this broadcast. But here today as well are two great guests right now. First off, he is one of the blog editors for Lakerholics.com. Be part of the conversation today at Lakerholics.com. He calls himself the Magic Man, but I call him Sean Grice. And Sean, Merry Christmas to you and your family, my friend.
Merry Christmas, Gerald, and Happy New Year as well.
Well, tell you what, man, it was a great game. Great game, right?
It was a great game. I thought that both Dennis Schroeder and Trez both were demonstrable in what their, you know, offensive strengths are. Trez showed me a lot tonight. I didn't really realize he could take the ball out 20 feet and, you know, dribble his way into a 15-footer. If he could do that on a consistent basis, it's going to be very, very difficult to defend us in the playoffs.
Very good mid-range game he showed today. Very, very good.
Absolutely. And if Kyle Kuzma can play like this, like if he shoots anywhere from like 43 to 50% per game, and he only takes, you know, maybe 12 shots at the most, you know, that's a pretty good game for him. Kyle isn't a volume shooter anymore, so he's got to find different ways to get on the board. And, you know, he showed his best stuff tonight, I thought, as well. So it was a great effort overall. Better than the last game. It was so disjointed. I mean, I think the celebration and the ceremony had a lot to do with the flat effort. Coming out,
well, they just didn't seem into it. As I was talking with Jamie right before the show, I mean, it just seemed like LeBron and AD, they didn't want to be there after they got their rings. It just seemed like they were joking around with Patrick Beverley, especially LeBron. LeBron was not playing a lick of defense. He wasn't playing a whole lot of defense today, and that's something I'll get into as far as it's concerned. It's just a little bit of a concern, but I'm assuming it's because of the quick turnaround, and we're going to hope that later on in the season, the Lakers will just turn it on just like that. But it was something that I noticed. I think the effort of losing in the last game, I think the effort was there today, at least on the offensive end.
Absolutely, Gerald. Agree 100%. Defensively, I thought there was, like you said, some breakdowns. There was some questionable passing and turnovers overall to start as well, but they seem to see. Here's what I agree with your assessment of last game, but the last 2 minutes of the third quarter last game and tonight, before the like a little after the fourth quarter had begun, there are these pockets where they give up these runs. It's like an 11-2 run or a 13-4 run, and you had a 17-point lead. Now all of a sudden it's 7 or 8. And I guess
basketball is a game of runs. So each team is going to get the runs. It all depends on if your runs are going to be bigger than the other team runs. Let's just put it like that. That's the way basketball is. But I see what you're saying, because Frank Vogel alluded that to himself in the game, saying that and with the Clippers, that and the way they end quarters is not really to his liking. And it showed a little bit today. They ended, I think it was the second quarter and also the third quarter, really not the way he really wanted to go ahead and have them close out the quarters. But still, like I said, a great offensive showing by the Lakers. And it really showcases, as I'm going to go ahead and bring on Jamie Sweet here, it really showcases the Lakers, just basically the whole diverse now options that they have available to them, because they have Kuzma, they now have Schroeder, and they now have Montrezl Harrell, that are different options that can go ahead and take over certain portions of the game. And here today with me as well, and I wish a Merry Christmas to him and his entire family as well, is a good man. Also, one of the fabulous blog editors, 5 Great Things, always, from Jamie Sweet. And Jamie, what were some of your impressions for today's game?
I mean, the Lakers outworked the Mavs on every aspect of the game. They were crashing the boards a lot harder. I want to say we out-rebounded them by a significant margin. 53 to 37 is a pretty I'm sorry, 27 is a pretty significant margin.
Yes, it is.
So it's a plus 26 in rebounding. And that's, you know, that's how the Lakers, if they're not going to play defense the way they did last year, which to this point, a whopping two games in, right? Nobody, yeah. You don't need to pull the firearm or the ripcord or anything, panic or anything. But, you know, when you don't play defense, you got to rebound. You got to limit it to one possession, get some offensive rebounds. We did those things. So I felt like we outworked the Clippers on the glass. And I think that, you know, we were probably a little hotter from 3-point land than we can count on consistently.
I don't think the Lakers are going to be that bad. I think they'll actually be a lot better from the 3-point area this year, or at least a lot more consistent than they were last year. I think they have a lot better options now.
I would hope so. I mean, I think that the guys that they have that do shoot the three are probably –
Matthews is an upgrade over Danny Green's struggling self, right, which he might refine in Philadelphia. You do have Schroeder, who, you know, is supposed
to be great.
Yeah, 38% to 40% right there for you last year. So, I mean, you do have a lot more options. I mean, THT, we haven't really gotten a beat on because he's not been playing anywhere kind of minutes. But Alex Caruso's even shown a little bit of an improved shot.
Well, I mean, and some of that's like, you know, when a guy wins an NBA championship, it does wonders for your confidence, right? Yeah. Like you go from like, well, can I do this, to I can do this and I will do this. You know,
the ball handling still as a backup point guard, I don't think Alex Caruso is the answer, because in the second quarter we saw a lot of turnovers, very sloppy play by the Lakers.
They need to put Gasol and Caruso on the floor together to increase the playmaking ability of the team overall when LeBron sits and when Schroeder sits, because that if you have Gasol at the top of the key and you have guys who are cutting, two guys on the baseline in the corner spotting up for three, you're going to open up the middle of the floor. And I think that's what the best use of Marc Gasol right now. I'm not sure he's going to stick in the starting lineup.
I'm not so sure either.
I wouldn't be too surprised if 10, 15 games in, we see another 10, 15 game experiment with any number of guys coming in at the five spot to start. Frankly, anybody but AD. I don't think they're going to play AD at the center in the regular season unless it's like, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go in the ball game, and it's a game they want to win. Yeah. It's just not going to happen. People could say, "Oh, he can do it," but he won't. It won't happen. So let's just pencil that in as fact at this point, because that's what he wants, and the Lakers are going to cow to what he wants, as they should. He just won him a ring. So I thought that this was a great bounce back game for, like, how we all thought they came out in game one, which was lethargic and slow and disinterested. And again, nobody played defense in this game. Neither team really showed up on the defensive end, but that's sort of how the beginning of the season is for every team. Every team's just trying to find their way, trying to find their identity. And frankly, we gave up a lot of defense to get the guys that we got. You know, we gave up Danny Green, who for all this struggle scoring is an excellent defender. And same with Rondo, you know, for all of his struggles and, you know, his age, even, he's still pretty. He's a great anticipator. He's a great team defender.
One-on-one, it was not his forte anymore.
No, but it's not many people's forte in the modern NBA. The modern NBA is not built on great one-on-one defense. It's very rare that you find great one-on-one perimeter defenders who can absolutely shut a guy down without help from the rest of the team. I mean, that's how the modern NBA is built. You know, it's built to allow guys to drive to the rim. It's how it's designed.
Yeah.
That's why everything kind of looks the same at this point. You know, it's everybody does the same thing, because that's it's the easy way to score points. So you're going to go that route. And we're probably not going back, for us old school purists who don't mind a little bit of, you know, New York Knicks, Pat Riley era bully ball, you know, a little more of a slog than is encouraged.
And that's one of the things I wanted to ask you. And I'll ask Sean that for real quick, if I may. Sean, first thing, I think they pushed the ball was a much better idea today. I think they pushed it with a lot more, you know, importance. They did not push the ball at all in the Clippers game, and I'm really glad that they did. I heard over the course of the weeks off in between seasons that I heard a couple shows, in fact, one of them in particular, I forget which one, but they particularly said that fast break teams don't usually win championships. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if that's the case, statistically, you could say that all you want. But this team fast break their way to a championship. It suits them. It suits LeBron. It suits AD as an up-tempo style. I think it creates a lot of easy looks for them, and it helps initiate their offense. True, they're a little bit better in the half court now than they were last year with Schroeder and Harrell. A little bit better as far as suited for a pick-and-roll, you know, set ISO type format, but always when you can go ahead and make easy attempts for yourself, when you can go ahead and get easy transition points, when you can go ahead and get at one time a 22-0 second chance points, it really creates a lot more easy opportunities overall.
Oh, absolutely, Gerald. I agree. It's basketball, and the turnover game is becoming very similar to football. You know, that scoop and score, that pick six, it can really change momentum and can swing a quarter or even a situation. What I'm finding as well, and just to piggyback off what you were saying, I think what the problem most people have, I'm just talking about like casual NBA fans, is that they see a team like the Showtime Lakers, and they see a team like the Warriors, and they see somebody like the LeBron, and they think that, oh, you know, at least, you know, 40, 50% of their offense must come from transition. No. One thing we learned from the 7 seconds or less Suns was the most percentage they ever had in transition was around 26%. So even a great defensive team would only roughly have about a quarter of their offense through transition. So you're going to have to manufacture points in the half court. And like you said, Gerald, adding a guy like Dennis Schroeder, adding a guy like Montrezl Harrell with LeBron and AD on the floor, that's four guys right there that can get your own shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
How many times last year were there multiple 20-point scorers on the Lakers? More than five games?
I mean, that weren't LeBron and AD.
No, I mean, that were three or more. I mean, assuming LeBron and AD had 20, how many times did a third guy score 20 points?
Maybe Rondo once or twice. Maybe
Kuzma once. once or twice, right? So that's like, you know, I'll say less than 10. I don't know what the number is. If somebody on the internet feels like looking it up and letting us know, that'd be wonderful. But like, I would not be surprised to see a lot of games like tonight where there are like three, almost four 20-point guys, and it's more of a who ran who out of the building kind of affair. I agree with Sean. I thought a great fast break team, one that can win a championship, is one that relies on its defense to start the fast break and not just having fast guys.
Yeah.
It's too often do people say like, oh, this guy's really tall, he's going to be a great center, or this guy's really fast. It doesn't come down – oftentimes it doesn't come down to the physicality of the game. It comes down to how you use the gifts you have within a team game. And, you know, this is my thing with like THT. You know, people are like, oh, he's got these long arms and he's this and that. And I'm like, well, yeah, but he's not very fast. So he can't – he's going to get blown by on defense if he can't figure out how to use those physical gifts to keep people in front of him. And same with like a Rondo. Rondo wasn't the fastest guy anymore, but he could make a fantastic pass that would make a fast break work. And same with LeBron. Frankly, same with Lonzo Ball. Not the fastest, most gifted athletic guy you've ever seen, but he has a knack for getting the ball down the court quickly.
Yeah.
That's what makes a great fast break, is smart paired with decent to great athleticism. And that's what the Lakers have, and they've improved that, I would say, this year. They have faster, better guys. I'm pleased as punch with the shooter pickup. For all the preseason struggles he had, and even how he looked a little unsure of like how he fit in game one, he looks great right now. He looks like I'm more than happy to turn the keys of the offense over to him in a year or two, two or three years, I should say. And LeBron even looks like, hey, regular season, you guys go, man. I got nothing left to prove in the regular season. I will be ready to go for the playoffs. You guys go out. Go get 20. I'm fine.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now, and I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
Facebook stars, not ninja stars, okay? I know how some people take things literally, so don't throw ninja stars at us, but like the Facebook stars, click on those. That's what we want.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Well, it just shows, again, the diversity now and options that the Lakers have. And if Kyle Kuzma, who John Hollinger just blasted the other day on his podcast about saying it's the worst extension out there. I don't think it's the worst extension. I thought Steven Adams was probably the worst extension for me. But, if that's the case, I'd still say Kyle Kuzma, you know, if he can just do things like he did today, I think that's going to pay for itself if that's the case. And if they go ahead and decide to extend Dennis Schroeder, that just makes it you have your set team. You're going to run with that team. Just basically it tells me that the Lakers are going to run with this team going forward. Sean, I want to ask you real quick, since you are our statistical analysis and also as well our historian guy, but this in this case, I want to ask you this as far as the roster is concerned right now when it comes to salary cap. Is the Lakers are the Lakers one of the, I think I saw this from Bobby Marks on Twitter, that the Lakers are one of the about four or five teams that can only have 14 players on the active right now, roster right now. Is that correct?
That's correct, Gerald. It's the Lakers, the Bucks, the Rockets, and I believe the Nets.
Funny. Four of those five teams are considered at the top of the league. How does that sound? No accident there. But I want to ask you this. They are able to add additional player at some point in time when the NBA clears it. Is that correct?
Yeah.
At what time is that? So I can get, you know, that's what I was, because you know, Bobby Marks didn't tell you that part. He leads you in with that, but he doesn't tell you the rest of it. So that's what I was kind of, or if he did, I missed the tweet.
I'll, I'll have to double check, but I believe I thought the they said the moratorium would be around mid-March.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my question to you is, go ahead, Jamie.
I wonder how that doesn't. Like, why can't they add a two-way player?
I assume it's because of the cap. It's cap related.
Mm-hmm. But two-way players don't count against. But two-way players don't count against.
But they're only allowed to play a certain percentage of the games.
So in a 72 game season, they can play 50 games.
Right. Okay.
Oh, is that much? I thought it was like less. My bad. I thought it was less than half. So, okay. Well, that's the case. That's a better understanding. But my question to you guys is, are we going to be able to obviously we're going to do very well this season. Obviously, when we play games like this, we're going to be able to outscore a lot of teams that are out there. But when you look at for later on in the season, are you concerned at all in regards to Marcus Gasol and the fact that when we're finally able to go ahead and have that open roster spot, fill that with the big man that both Laker Tom, you guys, and myself have also talked about adding for that final spot? I mean, I don't think Dwayne Dedmon's going to be there come March I would be surprised too, but maybe a trade or something like that, because that's right in and around where the trade deadline will be. Maybe that is going to be something that the Lakers should prioritize, because Marcus Gasol, I understand he's getting into shape. I understand that, but you're talking about someone that I don't know how much more substantially better he is going to get than what he's performing at right now. Jamie, I mean, do you agree with me? Do you not agree with me?
I mean, it depends on what you're asking him to do. I mean, tonight he was a +8. He had 8 rebounds, 1 turnover, not a lot else going on, didn't score. That's not true. Yeah, he had 2 free throws. Didn't make a basket, I should say. Shot 1 3-pointer.
And that's all the points he scored this season.
Right, and he only played 20 minutes. Somehow, for some reason, LeBron and Anthony Davis played 31 and 30 minutes, respectively, in this game, and I still can't figure that one out. I'm like,
why can't they? You know what I'm saying?
But they don't need to on this team, I feel like, especially in a blowout win like this, especially this early. But regardless, that's a very nitpicky, you know.
But I'll give you an example that when they were going ahead and they were playing 5 out on Mavericks and they're playing along the 3-point line, the ball got passed around and there's no way that Marcus Gasol could go and clear out and extend to Trey Burks on a corner 3. No. And it's going to happen time and time again. And this is something that I understand that the Lakers will go small in a lot of these situations, and I'm not trying to be mean to Marcus Gasol or anything. I know he fits a certain style of play. Scheme. Yeah. And a certain scheme. Exactly, Sean. I'm just not sure what that scheme is and how best to utilize him, because right now he's no longer the defensive player of the year that he once was.
Nor is he the offensive go-to guy that he was in Memphis. And that he never was in Toronto. Always was the I'll open up the floor, I'll make a pass, I'll play some stout positional defense. I am worried about it. I'm worried about it the same way that we saw McGee get marginalized in the playoffs because of this, pretty much the same reason.
And to an extent, Dwight Howard at times, so, you know, depending on the matchups.
Well, that's the key, right? What I want to see is how Mark does against a guy like Jokic. Can he keep up with a Jokic? Can he stay in front of a Jokic? Can he cover a Jokic from the 3-point line down to the paint? Can he bang with him and cover him all the way out there? If he can, then he has worth to the Lakers come the playoffs, because there are going to be teams where you want that skill set, that specific skill set. Mm-hmm. And he's not that expensive. So even if you did try to trade Mark, you're going to probably have to include somebody else in order to pick up a player of true impact. Otherwise, you're really just trading, you know, a bucket carrier, a water carrier for another water carrier, right? Yeah. Like you're not going to get like, oh, well, now we got this amazing guy.
You're not going to land on Markieff Morris, who can give you valuable minutes in crucial times. I mean, it was so interesting. I heard on another podcast, I think it was, I don't know if it was on Hollinger's again, but it was where they were talking about how Markieff was one of the few additions, Marvin Williams for the Bucks, few additions that were waiver pickups after the trade deadline, and that were pickups that actually made a substantial impression as far as their team. He didn't do a lot of scoring, but he was there as your center in the crucial times on defense. And that to me was very imperative. And I think Markieff is going to be just cruising on there. So
Agreed. Well, you could argue that Markieff and, in some ways, positionally, Markieff and what's up, LT? Markieff and Trez are, in some ways, a duplicate. You know, obviously they come with different skill sets, but the size factor is sort of is a little bit of an overlap there, which is another reason why I think you need a big like Gasol. You need somebody who can bang with the bigger guys, that can make the bigger guys feel them a little more. You know, there aren't many big guys. In fact, I think there are approximately one other big guy that can come close to mimicking what Anthony Davis does, and that's Vukovic in Orlando, who can hit the three, who can play inside, who can pass the ball, who can kind of shoot from anywhere, play from anywhere.
But he's kind of expensive, so I don't think that's going
to I was a big advocate of picking him up a few years ago when he was going to be an unrestricted free agent.
Trojan. Fight on.
The way things worked out, I'm pretty happy that we didn't pick him up. But Jokic is probably another one, although I don't think Jokic has quite the same ability to move with the ball that Davis and Vukovic have. He's not as fast. He's got quick feet, but he doesn't have that raw speed. So anyway, I think that you're going to want a banger. It's one of the reasons I would have been fine with the Lakers holding on to Howard. I personally think in some ways Howard is a better fit because he's got more raw speed. He's faster.
And he's a little bit more athletic.
He's a little bit more athletic. You know, Gasol's a positional guy. So if you don't have a good scheme around him, it's going to be hard for him. So I think he's probably the biggest coach's puzzle on the team right now. How does Vogel maximize his skill set and make him relevant, at least during the regular season? When it comes to the playoffs, it's going to be all about matchup. It's a whole different ball game, 7-game series, so on and so forth. But for the regular season, in terms of getting ourselves to a position where should there be fans in the stands for the playoffs? Should home court advantage matter more than it did in the bubble? It's going to be important to have a guy like Gasol. Not necessarily Gasol, a guy.
Well, I think Howard's going to do again another nice job as a backup on Philadelphia. He already proved it the other day when he got 10 rebounds for them. And I think it might have been an error on the Lakers' part. But again, we're talking about a little bit of small things because the Lakers just with an offensive showcase today. And here also today to talk about, he's the man in it after a big Christmas dinner that he got to enjoy. I'll tell you what, he looks happy. He looks satisfied. He looks like he's had a Merry Christmas. And I want to say, as I did before, I want to wish him and his entire family a truly Merry Christmas. It is the legend behind Lakerholics.com, the mastermind indeed. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, you got to be impressed with the offensive end for the Lakers today.
I was actually impressed with the defense also. I thought that they did a terrific job on the Mavericks. What we saw tonight was what the addition of Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell mean to this team. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Kuzma's re-signing. Kuz was just terrific all game long.
To John Hollinger's worst extension. I don't know if you heard that podcast yet.
Who's?
John Hollinger.
Well, I don't think John Hollinger is worth the paper that he writes on. I think I've disagreed with almost every decision that he's made.
Agreed.
It's probably why he no longer has a job working for the Mavericks.
I knew you were going to reach out to there. I knew
you. Well, what do you want to say? I mean, I think that was, there's a certain group of writers out there whose modus operandi is to negative the Lakers because they know they get hits, and they know that there's a whole lot of Laker haters out there, and so they do that almost intentionally, and they have a bias toward that because it's good for their professional career. John Hollinger fits into that mode.
But I'll tell you what, you got to be impressed with the adversity and the options now that the Lakers have. I think as I was telling Jamie and I were going a little bit back and forth on, I think they're a little bit better three-point shooting team. I think they lost a little bit defensively. There's things are going to have to work out. Marc Gasol, Jamie, and Magic Man and I, we all agree that's going to have to be something worked on. And then obviously when they were able to go ahead and pick up a 15th man, they can look into that later this in 2021. But the offensive variation that they have is so much better right now. The options are there that now you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players that can go ahead and get you 20. So Tell me your thoughts.
Get them, and get those points every night. That's the big difference. You don't have to wait for a big game from KCP or a big game from Caruso or whatever, because Trez and Dennis are going to score like that every night.
Yeah.
You can count on them for sure. And, you know, it really makes the game a lot different. And there's no doubt that we made a trade. We traded offense for defense.
Yeah. I was going to say nice mid-range by Trez. Did you see his mid-range?
But you know, Trez has done a much better job than I thought he would do defensively. So I think a lot of the warts that came with him from the Clippers really were more from how the Clippers deployed him. It was a disappointing game for Marc Gasol again, although he did do a good job rebounding. And I think part of that is not having his legs underneath him, and part of it is just figuring out how we're going to get, you know, like you were talking about when I just joined the podcast, how you're going to take advantage of him, because there are certain things that he can do well that we haven't had in the past, which is a good passing center, you know. And how do we take advantage of that, you know? I'd like to see him on the elbow with down a little lower with guys cutting to the basket, you know. If you can remember the way that Divac, for example, or that Boogie used to make that pass from sitting there in the short elbow and they buy him. I think we just have to do some scheming. But what's funny about the whole thing with the center situation is that they turned down Dwight Howard, who actually was trying to accept an offer that they made that they hadn't made. So there must be something in there. I don't know whether it was maybe Dwight was starting to do some of the crazy things that, you know,
I don't think that's
get him to previous teams.
I think
there was something. Let me finish, Jimmy. There was something going on that they not only didn't give him an offer, but when he embarrassed himself by accepting the offer, they didn't even pursue it in that sense. So I have to think that there was something going on there, because there's no doubt that if we had the Dwight Howard who played for us last year, who did a great job, I think we would be stronger defensively. So, you know, why did they make that decision? I think that at that point in time, we didn't have Gasol signed. So I think that they were looking at Ibaka and Gasol and wanting to get a center that could shoot threes. Now, Mark has not shot any threes yet. I mean, he didn't take a three.
Shot, basically.
He didn't take a three tonight. Did he take a shot? I can't even remember.
He took a three. That's the only
shot. Oh, did he? Yeah. He missed it?
Yeah.
One of the few Lakers to miss a three tonight.
They, like I said, I think they're going to be a little bit better 3-point shooting wise. I think they're going to be
a lot better 3-point shooting wise. You know, they're not going to be in the top five, but they were, you know, last year we were like 23rd or 24th or something like that. So we'll probably be up in the middle of the pack, I would think.
Which is a substantial improvement. So I'll take that.
Which is really for when you take a championship team and you can make an improvement that even jumps from, you know, 23 to 15 for 3-point shooting. And obviously we saw tonight what the high powered additions to the offense can do.
I just don't think they're focused right now enough on defense. And I think that's the turnaround. And I think that's, LeBron's just going to take some time getting into it. We saw the other day his lack of focus and attention. He was kidding around with Beverly on the sidelines. He was joking and all that. I just didn't see the competitive fire from him that I normally did. And I think
Christmas, you know,
6 weeks. It's 6 weeks.
It's still preseason for a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
But I thought there were times, for example, I thought they did a terrific job on Luka. I thought Dennis did a great job on Luka. I was really surprised with how much he bothered him.
It only when he took him down low that it became an issue, but playing up top, he did.
The only time Luka really got going is when he finally managed to get a couple guys on his hip, you know, and get into the key that way. Then he's really hard to stop. But, you know, they did a good defensively. There were big stretches tonight that I hadn't seen at all in the Clippers game, where the Lakers really locked down defensively, and that's how they built that lead up to 17, 18 points. It wasn't, they were hitting their shots, but it also was that the Mavs weren't getting anything easy. They were making some long threes just to stay close.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the second game of the season, I think we have to be extremely happy.
Oh yeah, and but I still think there's still a lot of work need to be done on the defensive end, because when you give up 50% field goal shooting and 40% from the three-point area, that tells me you need to work a little bit more, be more assertive on the defense.
Well, they were the number one team in the league. They set a record, Gerald.
Oh, I know.
They're the best offensive team in the history of the NBA.
But they're not the same team anymore.
How many points did they get from us?
Offense for defense. I'm just going to say that. But, Sean, I want to ask you this. THT didn't get much time in there. I thought that was kind of an error because of the fact that they were so sloppy with Alex Caruso handling the ball in that second quarter. A lot of turnovers. Do you think they should give more time to THT? I know Laker Tom is a big supporter. He would think that that could be the case. What do you think as far as how to alleviate some of that sloppy play that we saw in the second quarter?
Yeah, I think it's really dependent on the matchup, Gerald. I really do. I think I see him playing a lot coming up with this Southwest road trip. We play Memphis twice, we play Houston three times, and we play Spurs. Well,
in theory, we'll play Houston three times. Who knows? In theory, that could be a very big if.
But those three teams in particular have guards, bigger guards, thicker guards, who are a better matchup, I feel, for Jalen. For example, PJ Tucker and Talen Horton-Tucker are roughly the same size. When Talen Horton-Tucker finally fills out physically, I think he'd have a profile similar to him. So if they do play Houston, I'd like to see him on the floor with that, maybe not one-on-one with that particular player, but just watch him because, like you said, Gerald, he's 20 years old. He needs to learn how to play defense because once you get past his hip, he's a human fly swatter. That's all he could do pretty much.
No, so it's going to it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. But Jamie, I mean, you're saying, statistically, I just didn't feel that the ball flowed well in that second quarter. Seemed to be like a series of turnovers, just back to back to back. I mean, the Lakers had those stretches, obviously, where that happens. Every team does. But is there anything that you could do to try and maybe cut that down a little bit? A little bit.
That was our second best in terms of our scoring. That was actually our second best quarter. We scored 33 in the first, 36 in the second, 30 in the third. Which was our worst, and 39 and garbage time in the fourth. I see them as actually being very complimentary. I would like to see a lineup of Caruso, THT, and Gasol, and any two other guys you want to throw out there with them.
Now, because Caruso playing off the ball, I think, is a much better option than playing on the ball.
I agree. I thought that
that's a shooting guard. He's not a point guard.
I look at him as like a better version of Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson could score better, probably had a better handle. Caruso's obviously the better defender. It comes down to like matching up on the team, right? Like Caruso is the guy you want in crunch time when you need somebody to be your ball hawk, somebody to like set screens and maybe hit an open three. I've always felt like his scoring was gravy compared to everything else he brings. I mean, is he a great passer? No. Does he have a great handle? Nope. But he does all the little things pretty well, and he knows how to play defense in the NBA, which is a skill that is in short supply. There's a million guys who can hit threes but don't play a lick of defense. No. Seth Curry is one of them, right? Seth Curry will probably Seth Curry will probably make way more money than Alex Caruso will ever make simply because he shoots threes better. But I'll bet Caruso walks home with more rings on his fingers than Seth Curry can even ever dream of. He's already up one. So, again, for our team, I think Alex Caruso fits great. Can you look on out there in the NBA and find a better three-point shooter or a guy who dribbles the ball better or, you know, X, Y, or Z? Yeah, probably you can.
Same money, that's for sure.
100% not for the same money. And will he fit as well alongside AD and LeBron as Caruso does? I don't know that you can. I really don't know that you can. I would be curious.
Possibly is THT, and he's on the Lakers too.
And that's what I'm saying.
THT has defensive issues big time. He was really struggling out there on defense tonight. And teams are going to hunt him out. That's what I want to see. I want to see how he does when the minutes matter, and he has to stop the ball.
Well, I think now is the time you do it. I think now is the time you do it early in the season. Let's see what he's got. I mean, do you concur, Laker Tom? Let's see what the kid's got. I mean, you got right there. You have such a nice crutch in LeBron and AD. If it, you know, you get a little bit behind because of what THC is doing, put them in the game a little bit more, or you have the other players to go ahead and play off of. But now is the time to see just how good he can develop.
I think we're going to see a lot of games. I agree with you, Gerald. I think we're going to see a lot of games that are just like this game, you know, where the Lakers are going to pull away and have a pretty steady, easy win. Remember, this is not, we're not playing the Atlanta Hawks or the Golden State Warriors, who really look very, very like that championship team is never going to come back together again. I don't think so.
Well, they don't have AI.
It was a lot more than just the three superstars. Yeah. You don't realize all of the guys that they've lost, you know, that have gone other places. I think Frank's doing a good job of it because he's obviously making sure that THD gets in the game. The kid gets in the game. He hits a three. He hits his two free throws again. He's shooting 90% from the free throw line. You know, and why put a whole lot of pressure on him that you don't need to put on him, you know, at this point in time? He's definitely going to be, at some point in time this season, in my opinion, the backup point guard, because he has point guard skills, whereas Alex really doesn't. Alex's value, you know, tonight, Alex shot well. He hit two threes. He's plus 10 for the team, which is the best of anybody off of the bench. So, you know, you can't, you know, he's not the first two guys to come off the, you know, it's basically going to be Kuz and Trez who are going to come into the game first. They're going to be the first substitutions, and that's the top seven. So Caruso's in, you know, in the 8 and 9 spot there. And that's really where he belongs, you know. And then depending upon, like Jamie says, depending upon matchups, if we need a guy who, you know, we know we can rely on to play solid, good quality defense, do the little things that always add up into having a good net rating and a good plus minus. That's what Alex's game is, you know. He's not going to get paid. He's not going to get paid as much as Seth Curry is going to get, because the game still pays the shooters. Those are the guys that fans come to watch. Alex has got his own little crowd of GOAT favorite people that just love the kid. I love him too. I actually think he's elevated his game and become known around the league for what he contributes enough that he's actually a good trade asset. You know, I didn't include him in trades before because I didn't think he was, because I wanted to keep him or anything. It was just because I didn't think he had a value. Now, I think once we get close to the trade deadline, there'll be a lot of teams angling to say, hey, what about this kid? You know, can we trade him? Can we get him? And I don't think the Lakers are going to give him up unless they need something, unless they have a good opportunity. Now, the center situation, you know, I think we made a trade-off, but I think the trade-off is going to win 4 out of 5 times, let's say, 8 out of 10 times. We're going to come out ahead because of having Trez be one of our centers and the offense that he brings. And I think we'll figure out what's going with Gasol. You know, I mean, I'm surprised because I would think that the guys who are classified on this blog, on this podcast, as the glass half empty guys would be a lot more patient with Marc Gasol than for a couple of bad games. You know,
At this time, if he's out of shape, don't play.
I think a lot of it is he's not in game shape.
He hasn't been in since the bubble, and that's concerning. I
don't think you pull the trigger at this point in time and bench him. You figure out how to use him because he has skills.
I think he'll get a 10 to 15 game run, and then you might see Trez as a starting center if he continues to struggle the way he has, which wouldn't surprise me. And I do think that Gasol, I mean, he lost the starting spot to Ibaka last year, and so that wouldn't surprise me if the same thing happened on this team.
Not because
Trez can stretch the floor, but just because he plays harder. I mean,
Trez, I noticed tonight, he shot his free throws much better, and his little jumper was hitting from the baseline.
That's what Sean said.
The thing about Trez is that he plays hard on every single play, and so does Dennis. You know, they both have a lot of dog in them, and that really they really fit. I mean, I saw an article and I didn't even get a chance to read it, but I saw the headline that LeBron and AD feel like they're pushing them. And they are, because all of a sudden you got a couple of young guys with young legs who are really speeding up the game and giving you energy that at times we just did not have last year when LeBron and AD weren't on their game or weren't on the floor. And so I think that's a big difference that's going to make the Lakers have a lot more opportunity to give THT some playing time and so forth. Matthews, again, I thought struggled too. You know, it's a more serious problem for Matthews and you know, two veteran guys who are both up there in years and who both signed a minimum contract, you know, chasing a ring. So, you know, sometimes those things work out and sometimes they don't, but more than likely, I think neither one of them right now looks like they're going to produce the kind of contributions that we were hoping for from them. But the question is, will that really matter in the long run for the Lakers? Probably not.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the world champion, Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Well, the only thing I say, let me interject real quick on this, Laker Tom. When it comes to Marc Gasol, if he's only averaging for you 1 point a game, and obviously he's going to score a little bit more than that, he becomes a liability to the point where it becomes a 4-on-5 situation. And you don't want it to become a 4-on-5 situation.
We won a championship with JaVale McGee there, doing the same thing, not doing anything on offense.
Well, JaVale McGee was
stumbling and tumbling his way through the first half of the game, the first quarter of the game.
Didn't really play significantly.
Yeah, he didn't play in the playoffs. Yeah,
but he was a huge part of the regular season. Those are two different scenarios. So, funny thing.
Two guys playing for the minimum. One in Cleveland and one in Los Angeles.
It's just like you said, you don't want to become a situation where it makes it harder for the guys to score.
Yeah, but I'm not going to jump on Marc Gasol and throw him under the bus at this point in time.
No, not yet. I think he's in danger of losing his starting. I'm thinking I will say he's in danger of losing his starting spot within the next 20 games.
That's something I would agree with Jamie on that.
I don't think 20 games, that's not throwing him under the bus. That's acknowledging
I don't think Marc Gasol is going to play like this for 20 games.
I hope he doesn't. I couldn't imagine.
Well, okay. Well, let's close this conversation out and then get you guys updated on what's going on with LakerHolics.com, because I know you guys want to be all home with your families to finish out the rest of this fine Christmas Eve. But I do appreciate each and every one of you taking the time out on this Christmas to talk Lakers basketball. And that is this. I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but ESPN has reports that Dennis Schroeder is working out a possible extension with the Los Angeles Lakers. My daughter, who got a real good look at Schroeder for really the first time today, said he just noticed how aggressive he is, for better or for worse. And there's going to be times you're going to see LeBron grit his teeth. But I like it. I like the fact that he's aggressive. I like the fact that he doesn't have to rely on LeBron or AD to go ahead and get in the ball. I like the fact that he creates his own offense. 100%. I don't mind an extension as long as something even anywhere remotely not an overpay. So I want to hear your thoughts on this before we go ahead and get to what you guys are working on. Magic Man, I'll start with you. Do you think it would be a great job for the Lakers? And obviously, they've been working on and thinking about it for quite some time, if they go ahead and finalize an extension for Dennis Schroeder.
There's only one word for that one, Gerald.
Oh, here we go.
Ba-da-ba.
I knew it. After Magnifique with Rudy Gobert last time, here he goes again with another singer.
Canadian's going to drop some French.
That would be incredible. to have a pick and roll point guard playing with Anthony Marshawn Davis for the next 3 or 4 years, I would welcome that.
I would think that'd be a great, and like you saw, not only with AD, but with Montrez, it just not, it's something we had always
natural
hoped
chemistry.
For.
Natural
yeah,
chemistry.
Yeah, that chemistry there for the pick and roll is something that we could really get into in the half court set, which makes the half court offense flow a lot better. Jamie, what are your thoughts on an extension for Dennis Schroeder?
I think it would be brilliant. I love what he brings to the team. I think not only is he a great pick and roll partner with AD and Trez, but even Gasol and guys like that, you know, the more lumber-feeted players on in the league that will eventually probably have one on your team no matter what if you want to compete for a championship. He's just got a great knack. He reminds me of a better shooting young Rondo. He really does. And I don't think he's breaks down the game the way Rondo can. At least I haven't seen
he's
that.
He's not as savvy as no. As no.
I agree.
But he's still, you know, fast enough. He's you know, he got enough court awareness, I think, that will get you by. But his aggression, I think, makes up for a lot of that. Laker Tom?
Agreed.
Well, you know, there was an article that said that Dennis turned down, I think it was 36,000 an extension for 2 year extension for 36 or 37 million.
I was going to say 36,000. I no, think yeah, I would right, turn dude. That down.
No, so there you're looking at a guy who's already turned down. What's that? You know, what 18 million a year?
18 and a half.
Yeah. So, you know, if the Lakers are, and I hadn't heard that ESPN said they were working on an extension for him, but
yeah, that's
I'm real high on him. As I said, I thought it surprised me that they gave Dennis the job of guarding Luka. And he did a great job, I thought, of guarding Luka. He did a better job than anybody else on the team, I thought, of really keeping and bothering him, you know, hassling him all the way down the court, hassling him and fighting through screens. Pestering him all the time. You know, he's really a gritty little defender. And
well, you know what it is too, Tom? Those European guys, they really compete against one another. They really do.
I think you're right about that. That's a good point, Sean. But I think that, you know, so if ESPN is saying they're looking at an extension, then you're probably looking at a $20 million a year guy to sign Dennis. Because he's turned down $18 million already. And my whole opinion about these extensions, I think it's really important because I see these guys, when you get them on an extension, they're trading chips that have value. You know, it reinforces the value of that player, that a championship team like the Lakers was willing to give Kuzma 12 a year, was willing to give KCP 12 a year or 13 a year or whatever, you know, whatever the schmidgen is.
I'm not going to say schmidgen. Last time I said schmidgen, it got me in trouble. So I'm not going to say schmidgen.
So I think it solidifies the character of your team and the togetherness of the team, the chemistry of it. It gives the player security. So he's just not worrying about the contract year and the fact that he's going to be a free agent. And you don't want to lose the guy. You don't want to lose a guy like Dennis. You know, you want to lock him up if you get a chance to. And I think the same thing is true of Trez, you know. I don't know what the situation is with Trez because we signed him as a free agent. So I don't know whether we can extend him or not. I don't know what the rules are.
Well, we got him for 2 years. So we
know, but it's 1+1. He has an opt player option.
Yeah. But at any rate, I think it makes sense. And that really gives me a lot of confidence if you have a locked up team with all of these guys that are important trading pieces, not only do you have better chemistry and so forth, but you got more flexibility because if you got guys going into free agency, you know, a lot of people are going to be hesitant to try to sign a guy to trade for a guy at the trade deadline if they only got him for a half a year, possibly because he's going to be a free agent. And in Dennis's case, even when he was traded to the Lakers, they wanted to give him an extension and he said no. Because obviously he felt he could go into free agency and get more money. So I love the kid's confidence. I love the kid's confidence. It was interesting that I heard the announcers talking about how Frank Vogel actually was thinking of starting somebody else other than Dennis until Dennis spoke up. And then he finally made the decision, okay, I'm going to give him a chance to show what he can do. Just, you know, not wanting to have a disgruntled player. And Dennis is, as you say, he has some dog in him, and that dog probably shows up sometimes in ways that you don't want it to show up. You know,
that's going to be the theme, but I like his aggression. I'll take it. If he can stick to 35% and over on 3 points, I think it clears up a lot of things on that.
He shot well last year from the field and from the
38-39%. If he gets
close to 50% from the field.
Yeah. And if he could do anything near that, because that was a little bit out of the norm for him, I would like him to start that, be that the new norm for him. But Sean,
I know norm for him because he's a growing player, you know.
I'm just saying, for instance, Kuzma has, you know, he's been all over the place. Now you're going ahead. Hopefully, we'll see a little bit more, you know, compact, a little bit more economical.
Kuz had a great game, man.
Yeah, very Kuz solid.
Good shot in rhythm.
Yeah, it looked good. It looked very good. We were very supportive and complimentary before he came on. Yes, of Kuzma. Very good job. But Sean, you raised your hand in class. I didn't want to go ahead and ignore you. But before we go ahead and head on out and talk about what we're doing for LakerHolics.com, you raised your hand in class, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, Gerald, I just wanted to mention, piggyback off what Tom was saying. If Harrell, so after this year, if Harrell signs, opts in, he can't sign an extension until next March. Dylan Brooks did that with the Grizzlies. He was in the last year of his contract. He had a player option on it. He re-signed in March. So I think Harrell's really gonna play it out in the summertime and either sign an extension with us or sign a bigger extension with somebody else.
Especially the Lakers.
I think we can sign him on an extension. I think the problem that we have, like with AC, is that he was coming off what was essentially a rookie contract, you know, and it's the same thing with THT. You can't extend THT because they're on a 2-year rookie contract. But I think, you know, listen, if Trez continues to play as well as he has been playing, I'd lock him up too.
Just to answer your question, Jamie, I will say,
give him $64 million for 4 years. Like
Houston, we have a problem.
Like the Clippers gave what's his name.
Yeah. Well, Houston's going to have to get off some of its demands in order to, if they want to move him. But I think at some point he will be moved. I think
he crazy out of the ballpark.
He will be moved.
Portland.
Harden. Harden. Jamie put in the chat as far as what's going to happen with James.
He'll poison the team if they don't move him.
That's what he stated.
He's one of the few guys who will actually do that to his own team.
But can we end the Kobe Harden comparisons for all time? Because Kobe would have played hard every game.
I never heard those comparisons.
Well,
that's an insult to Kobe.
I agree. But I mean, I was explaining to somebody, like, you know, when Kobe had his trade demands, you know what he did every night? He went out and played hard.
Right.
He didn't show up the team. He didn't, like, act out. Granted, not everybody had a camera in their pocket at the time he wanted to play on Pluto. So it's a little bit different world that this is happening in. But, like, it's unfathomable to me that Harden is doing this with any kind of strategy in mind. It's like, what do you think is going to happen now, dude? Like, who wants you? Like, you're just acting really? Like a petulant child. Like, anyway.
Somebody will take him. Somebody will trade for him. I hope it's somebody like Charlotte Hornets or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. We'll wait and see. But before we head on out, guys, I know you guys are working on a lot of stuff for LakerHolics.com. It's good to see all you guys healthy, feeling a lot better. It's good to see that. And I'm really happy for that. In fact, I want to continue holiday blessings for everyone out there that's watching, listening, and of course, all you guys right here. But before we head on out, Sean, we'll start off with you first. What destructive things can you do to undermine Laker Tom at LakerHolics.com?
No comment.
John never undermines me.
Anyway,
I've seen the comments.
Gerald, I was going to say.
They both do. They're both rowdy kids for you, Laker Tom.
Why? My only question is, how come us glass half full guys always are in the bottom row?
I don't know. Talk to StreamYard on that one.
I got him first.
Sean is 11.
Because the guys in the top row are the guys that keep emptying the water glasses down on top of the guys in the bottom row.
Sean's glass is not as full as yours, but go ahead, Sean.
Yes, Gerald, I was going to say, normally I don't watch that ugly, ugly team that wears green and white, unless we're playing before them. So I happened to see the game today, and I think the Nets and Lakers are on a crash course for the finals.
Raphael and I both predicted that, but Raphael said they would come out of the gate storming. I said they would struggle just to find their rhythm first before they would show their dominance. My gosh, I was wrong on that one, even though, again, I said they would be in the finals against the Lakers. But Raphael hit it right in the head. They have come out like a barn burners, and they look like the best team in basketball right now.
Oh, no, they do not.
Absolutely, Gerald.
They're the best team in basketball. I didn't say they are. They're playing better than anybody right now in the NBA.
And
Brooklyn is 2-0. Lakers are 1-1. So, yes, they are.
I didn't say they were the best team. I said they were playing the best to their capabilities.
And they are.
The Nets have a lot of complementary offensive players for KD and Kyrie both to work with.
They have KD. That's the difference.
Well, we're going.
He's come back 100% from the
playing great.
Got a great team.
Yep. I was going to say I'm a huge Basquiat fan, but those uniforms need some work. Brilliant artist.
Did you see that? I haven't watched the Clippers game, but did you see the Clippers' new warm-up?
What is going on?
The Clippers are wearing like powder turquoise blue, like Charlotte or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
a city uniform type deal. It's you know the NBA, they throw out a new gimmick each and every year when it comes to uniforms, but that's what happens.
I reserved a spot to buy one of those hoodies that the Lakers were wearing for the ring ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, I'm going to get one of those. I got online and I clicked the button to buy it. Oh, guess how much that sucker is?
120?
250.
175.
Not surprised.
I'm not a wealthy person, but I spend a good amount of money on clothes from time to time.
$75
for a cotton hoodie. It's a little.
I like my Laker hoodies, but I don't like my Laker hoodies that much. But
I loved it though. It's a beautiful piece.
Yeah, it is. I agree with you on that. But Jamie, I know you've got five great things coming up for Lakerholics.com. And again, I'm not saying Brooklyn is the best team. I'm saying they're playing out of the gate better than anybody. Although the Clippers
glass half full, glass half empty.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? You're the only one that has half full because Magic Man is closer to what we're thinking right now. I can tell you, but go ahead, Jamie.
Cinco grande cosas. Five great things for tomorrow. And also, extolling the praises of teams that I respect, even if they're not the Lakers. Really just have to respect any NBA athlete, which I forget what I was watching the other day, but I think it was
banking in a shot and everybody acting like it was the greatest shot in the world.
Well, no, it was like on the jump or Jalen, it was some show like that. And, it was the TNT halftime show over the first game. And there are 5,000 people who have played in the NBA, like a little over 5,000 people. So these are one of the reasons I respect even the scrubs at the end of the bench, they're part of a brotherhood that so few humans will ever even be considered to be a part of. So they deserve respect for getting to this level because they are all elite athletes and they're all the best basketball players on earth. Many of them will play as a a scrub on this team is a starter on some country's Olympic team, for crying out loud. So point being is that this is the best the NBA has ever been. And there's been great players from the beginning of it up until now, and there will be even better players coming down the pike.
Can't wait till that expansion happens. Las Vegas. You heard it here first.
It can't be both Seattle and Las Vegas because which one goes west? No, you can't. Who do you boot to the east?
That's easy. Memphis. Starting off
with Memphis. I've already talked about it.
and New Orleans.
You're just diluting the East even more.
Actually, New Orleans and Memphis would actually be a lot higher on the food chain if that's the case.
New Orleans is for real this year, man. I think New Orleans and Phoenix might knock out.
New Orleans has a problem when Brandon's not in the lineup, man.
Yeah, they got hurt today. Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where they're a player away. I'm not sure what type of player.
They're away a player away from what?
From being like a serious number eight for a lot seed. Of teams. No,
player away from being a number eight seed.
No. They're a potential number eight seed right now. They're a potential number eight seed right now as we sit talking about this, guaranteed. They're definitely a playing team. I think that
they're
they
a could playing team at best.
I think New Orleans could knock out Portland. You know, Portland's gotten by on the skin of its teeth for a lot of years. They've gotten by on a lot of
Chuck just bet $50,000 on Portland.
Oh, okay. that means approximately zero.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Don't tell that to Raphael.
He's the only reason I would not dump on. I have a huge amount of respect for Damian Lillard. Not quite as much respect for CJ McCollum, who I think is a little too streaky to be counted on. And they just lack defense. There's not a good defensive identity up north.
And the problem with teams like that is that
they don't have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Game, you
know? And the only way they win is when he has a great game.
That's
the Harden problem. It's now become the Warriors' problem with Steph. You know that.
Well, that was death by that was death by
this is why the Lakers are so hard to beat and why. And why the additions of Dennis and Trez really make such a big difference.
Agreed. Anyway, yeah, I'm working on five great things and being a constant thorn in Laker Tom's side. Not really. I just like
I know that's actually part of the fun when you go to LakerHolics.com is seeing you and Sean needling Tom for all you can at LakerHolics.com.
Jamie does understand that when he needles me, for example, for being overly excited about THT, that I'm only going to come back twice as
well. You got me on the THT train. You got me there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what THT can bring. But before we head on out, Laker Tom, I want to go ahead and give you the mantle. Go ahead.
Don't have anything in the chamber anymore.
What do you mean? You've always got something working on.
No, I've been having to work. I've been having to do a little work. I'm working for my sister, trying to put together a big mega cannabis deal for her. To buy this company, and so I've really been struggling to have time to, like, I couldn't watch many games today. I spent a good deal of the day working, so trying to make some money, you know. I mean, it's our food bills have gone up so crazy, you know, and it's just, you know, I feel like I'm living on DoorDash and you know, the delivery system, and even going to the grocery store. I can't believe the bills coming in my credit card for my Amazon credit card. You know, it's just like
Jeff Bezos says, thank you.
Not only that, but Amazon is overcharging and under delivering everything. I mean, in the grocery stores, you go in there and our local Safeway hires disadvantaged young guys to do a lot of the work in the store. And this is one guy who's really funny because he says, Safeway's ripping you off, man. And says, those mini Cokes, you know, we hid those mini Cokes in the back until you know, the price went up. And that sale item over there is really a ripoff. And, you know, the grocery stores are doing family. They're raising the prices on everything. All of the money that I'm saving by not driving anywhere, you know, and not being able to go out anywhere or go to movies or anything like that. Now you turn on the TV, you see a movie you want to watch, and it's $20. You know, you want to wait 6 weeks for it to become down to a $5.99 rental, or do you want to watch it tonight?
Well, I'm going to be checking out Wonder Woman 1984 here in a little bit. So
I just saw Midnight Sky, which I thought, you know, got a few bad reviews, but I loved the movie. I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah.
George Clooney, seeing how he's trying to beat you on the beard there, Jamie. He's trying to beat you on the beard in Midnight.
That's a hell of a beard he's got going there.
Clooney or me?
Especially when he's out in the Arctic and he gets covered with snow and ice.
Yeah.
Hey, have you guys seen that movie?
No, but yeah. I have heard. I like
the two-tone This is annoying. This is annoying to me right here. I'm looking at this and I'm like, let's come on.
Oh yeah.
Who can pay to make it look good?
All right. Well, before we get too much into our groomage here, I think that the listeners out there don't want to really hear about that. But I'll tell you what. Okay, well, write an article about it. Maybe you can go ahead and post on LakerHolics.com.
Five great things about my beard.
There you go. Sounds good. Oh, LeBron's was looking good. But, yeah, that's,
better than a scout, man. Better than a scout.
Well, I'm not going to go there either. But for, I'll tell you what, for all the great things.
Haircut.
It's been a long time, man.
Well, for all the great things, check it out today, LakerHolics.com. Plus, catch their banter each and every time out in the comments, which is half full or half empty. Always part of the fun when you go to LakerHolics.com. For myself, if you want to go ahead and check out, I dropped the latest PCC Multiverse on the Pop Culture Cosmos channel, talking about Wonder Woman 1984 and Soul, which I just checked out earlier today. I will go ahead and share my thoughts on that on Monday. But for this one, we just talked about not only them dropping, but also as well, KFC might have just revolutionized console gaming. How so? Listen to the latest episode of PCC Multiverse and you'll find out indeed. KFC, that's right. Who knew? Who knew? But go ahead and support LakerHolics.com. Support us. Do what you can to like, follow, do whatever you can to take care of us here at the Lakers Fast Break. It is truly appreciated. Cannot thank you enough for watching, listening. Thrive Fantasy for the best in daily props. Please go ahead and check out ThriveFantasy.com or Thrive Fantasy downloaded at the App Store. We truly would appreciate it if you do. And again, LFB, the code is LFB. You type that in on your first deposit, they'll match it up to $50, LFB, as long as it's over $20 right there at Thrive Fantasy. Well, guys, it was a great win, a great offensive performance. I know Tom will say all around, it was great all around performance for Tom. Great offensive performance for me. Can't get much better than that. The diverse options the Lakers now have really has me excited for what's ahead for this rest of the season. But most importantly, I want to again wish you out there and also everyone here that's part of the show and Lakerholics all the best this Christmas and have a happy and safe holiday season. And we'll see you next time right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.